Forestry has been a pillar of the job industry in Wisconsin for over a century. There are jobs in logging, lumber, and paper making, all rooted in sustainable forestry. But over the last several decades, challenges to this industry have cropped up, and the consequences for forests in Wisconsin have yet to be determined.
John Schmidt has been covering forestry issues in Wisconsin, and he's here to talk about these challenges and how they may change the state's economy. He's an economics writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much for inviting me here.
So how significant is forestry in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's such an interesting, almost counterintuitive kind of question, because it's such a quiet, organic, kind of anonymous industry, and the nature of something that's quiet and anonymous is so at odds with an industry that is so enormous, that has so much scope and scale to it. It's kind of unrecognized. You could start with jobs. These are the industries you mentioned. These are the oldest and to this day collectively the biggest sector of the state economy. You know, it's more than logging and lumber and furniture making. You're talking about pulp, paper making, and an astonishingly huge sister industry of printing the nation's books and magazines and catalogs. All of these are quintessential Wisconsin industries. You know, to this day, you're talking about tens of thousands of jobs in these industries. Somewhat ominously, you know, ink on paper, it sort of evokes a feeling of the fin de siècle, that these days are numbered for these industries, but still huge. But it's important for other reasons as well. By feeding and fueling and sustaining and reforesting the state, you've created recreation opportunities. Let's face it, Wisconsin is prime area for cross-country skiers, hunters, snowmobilers. There's a lot of that. The history of the state's economy is written in the forestry. But to my mind, one of the, if you want to talk about the importance of this, Wisconsin created a model of sustainable forestry. We live in a time when so many industries wish so much to be called sustainable or have the label of green applied to them. Well, Wisconsin did that on a grand scale very successfully in the last century, long before anyone talked about making it popular.
Mm-hmm. So what have been some of the challenges to that balance of industry and the sustainable forestry? You mentioned the move away from ink on paper printing. Is that one of the major challenges to the industry now?
I would have to say so. I see this all through a certain prism. What's at stake here, and what I wrote about in Sunday's paper, which anyone can go find at jsonline.com, that's our website, is a model, what I called an economic ecosystem. It's a phenomenon. It's something the likes of which I've never seen in any of the economics reporting or the globalization reporting I've done anywhere else. You know, it's a model where you have economics, which effectively marries economics and ecology, man and nature, job creation, quality of life, recreation, and trees, tree huggers and barons of industry together. So you created this model. The model worked as long as there was markets for the cellulose, as long as there was trees to pulp into paper, or as long as there was hardwoods to make into basketball floors or IKEA furniture or bookshelves or what have you. Those are all classic Wisconsin industries. That model is unraveling in its classic form, the model that was, you know, that's so interesting to look at in the light of, you know, modern economics. You have to really start with paper. The paper industry is here because it's been here for 150 years. They were the ones that took the lead on reforesting the state, because the state was truly clear cut.
Well, and one of the impacts right now is that because of globalization, it can actually be cheaper to make these wood and paper products from wood that's being shipped from around the world than from 20 miles down the road. How has that happened?
That's fascinating, isn't it? It is much more than an environmental story. You know, you may love trees and you may love that they're carbon sponges, but there's a lot of globalization forces at play here in this industry. So Wisconsin, let's face it, is a cold state. It's the northern half of the state where you have the most forests. Many people don't know this, but fully half of the state, half of the acreage of the state of Wisconsin is covered in forests. That's bigger than the state of Vermont. And those they even call them industrial forests quite often, or working forests, just because they're like a crop. Those crop cycles are interrupted once a year with these brutal winters that slow the growing cycles of these trees. Go down to Southeast Asia, go to Brazil, South America, and you can grow a tree in half the time or faster than it takes in Wisconsin. As a result, you can have, you know, very aggressive tree plantations in those, even in the southern United States. That's where you get the economies that allow you to ship barges of pulp up to Wisconsin, and you can make paper in a Wisconsin mill out of pulp that's grown halfway around the world. It's a very interesting aspect of globalization.
So we're talking about these large issues of global trade. Now let's take it down to a much, much smaller landscape and families and intergenerational transfer of this forested land in Wisconsin. What's happening with that forested land that is going to be passing from an older generation who maybe was very, very intimately involved in managing that land to the next generation?
Well, this is Wisconsin Public Radio, so the audience that's listening to this show probably knows pretty well what a lot of people who are urban dwellers don't. Wisconsin has this very interesting culture of families that own family-owned tree farms, tree plantations, or woodlands, or timberlands, whatever you want to call them. When you look at the 17 million acres of Wisconsin, again, that's half the state that's covered in forestry, some 10 million of it, you know, the vast preponderance of it, is owned by families. These are smaller lots. Now, that's been a long-time tradition. Wisconsinites love planting trees, and they love spending time in the trees, in the forest land. But just as you have the graying of America, just as you have the echo of the baby boom that's dying out and changing the nature of society, that's being reflected in forest ownership as well. If you grew up in a family that owned these timberlands, but you may have moved to San Diego, become a doctor, and started a family there, and then, lo, your parents call you up and say, hey, guess what? You just inherited the management of 200 acres of forest land. You're thinking, oh, great. I have to go there and spend time. I have to, comply with, the various state regulations on that. So some would say, well, now it's less of a place where I love the land and have a land ethic, and more of an asset that maybe I can just liquidate.
And actually, there are institutional investors and portfolio managers who are buying that forest land. Isn't that a good thing overall, or are there downsides to that?
Well, that's where you get a very possibly the clearest example of a change in the business model or the economic ecosystem that's grown up in Wisconsin. It's true what you just said. Of the this gets away from the notion of family ownership. The paper mills themselves, as they were creating the model of sustainable forestry in Wisconsin, they owned their own timberlands. That was the common model. Wisconsin, by the way, is the biggest paper-making state in the country to this day, and so it was common for paper mills to have their own timberlands just to grow and have a guaranteed supply of pulp. Well,
and John, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. John Schmidt, economics writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, reports on the Wisconsin timber industry.